90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
The only good Indian is a dead Indian.
Welcome to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here, and be doing your news across Indian Country later in the program, so make sure you stay tuned for that. I also wanted to start off with remembering Memorial Day. The fact that a lot of people don't really understand what Memorial Day is about honoring those people who gave up their lives for all of us. And it's not about having the day off. It's about remembering those people and what they sacrificed, and making sure we honor all those people. So I wanted to play a flag song, and this is the Dene flag song. So we'll start off our show in honor of Memorial Day and the ultimate sacrifice of those men and women who gave their lives for all of us.
Chopa, da, Speak to you, I can acknowledge all the things that you're going through. And trust me when I say that I've been in your shoes. Locked up before for breaking all of the rules. I felt alone, so I posted up in my room with thoughts of suicide. I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. If I end it all, who's gonna care? Picture my feeling, who's all there? That constant feeling of despair. Zoned out with a blank stare in that moment. I'm trying to decide my fate with war paint written all across my face. The ancestors fought hard and never gave up this easily. So I find something deep inside of me. To my dream or your family, thanks for believing in me. Together with you, we gon' make some history. Native youth, yes, I'm still talking to you. I promise you, owning the truth, that's all I know how to do. Too many years of constant being lied to. I know how you feel. You probably had it up to here. And take a moment from wiping the stairs. Close your eyes for a second. Imagine you no longer living in fear. Keep your head above the clouds and know it gets better from here. Pretend for 1 second, Pop's putting down a beer as he puts arms around you so you feel how love heals. How love heals, how love heals. It's not your fault that love for your life, it just disappears. It disappears, it disappears. I know the pain suffocates and takes you to a distant place. A youth among all experience the highest rate. We got a promise, we will never let the youth fade away. This is more than Twitter hashtags, DNA to view.
Trouble finding, destroy the
dear native youth.
Dancing in 12-inch ceremony mixed in reverse. I want to go back. Back to when hand drum circle cypher sessions spun the world. I've been ghost dancing on this modern platter of cemented long walks. I pray for buffalo with hose like hail. Stampede, please bump the table. Please bump the table. I can dance my toes over their grooved backs. Listen to the way hide grinds like pine nuts and gore to the hip hop of extinct knees that snaps beautiful like a b-boy. The tribe is back. Quests no longer find thin sacks of bones in the plains. I've been ghost dancing, and I can see Narbona. Crazy Horse, ODB, Notorious B.I.G., and Red Cloud jump from their paved over graves. I hear tribal wisdom. I hear words. I hear prayer. I hear hands. Jam Master Jay shows us Shebek Eh. Through repetition, we dance. Through repetition, we dance. My moccasins need to be tied with the deer hide. Fat lace, spit shine, sterling silver stamp. Gotta look vamp before B-boys rip through stage. Decked out in braids, turquoise chains hang for days like 1862 Sioux Warrior ways. And us new braves smile, cause Wovoka! Natives don't gotta be the only ones who come back. John Lennon, Robert Johnson, and Keith Moon play Eagle Bone Whistle. Inside Bob Marley's peyote clouds, we are rainbow proud. Forever, like Krylon feathers, we bomb this world in medicine wheel colors. Blue coats point their Gatling guns, but the bullets pass through us. Way ah, hey, hi, ah. The bullets pass through us, spreading spiritless splatters on the walls. They say graffiti is a stain. So like Wounded Knee, we sink in. Paint our faces black mask like we're mad villains dressed in ghost jerseys. We dance on aerosol petroglyphs. Our signatures lie upon all the silver in this glittering world. Shaolin is a cedar pine hogan. And Thug Mansion, a deer hide teepee. And we mix these gathering nations until we all permeate sage. So we bless ourselves and dance. We dance to remember. We dance until the world is gone. Everyone is gone. The world's a ghost and everything is silent. So we drop the sun dagger onto vinyl. And let it sing.
Oh.
tonight. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here. And we've been talking about an issue this past week that's been going on in Minnesota. And this is in regards to a project with the Walker Arts Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and it was titled Scaffold. So I invited a good friend of mine, Mr. Alfred Walking Bull, who's with us on the phone right now. He's Sashangu Lakota and living in Minneapolis. Thank you for joining me, Alfred.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great. Great to have you here. So if you want to give the background to us here in Kansas City about what's been going on and why this project stirred so much emotion in the American Indian community there.
Sure. So the Walker Arts Center is a pretty significant museum here in Minneapolis. It's decided to redesign its sculpture garden, which is a big tourist attraction here in Minneapolis. Attracts about 700,000 people a year. And so they've been landscaping and redeveloping their space, and so they announced on their social media on May 23rd that these would be the pieces that would be in the new sculpture garden, the new redesigned sculpture garden. On the 25th, which was Thursday, social media started responding. Activists in Minneapolis are really vigilant about looking at what happens in public spaces. So they started letting people know that, oh, there's this piece, and what do we think about that? By Friday, this past Friday is when things just kind of hit the ground running. There was a hashtag campaign called Take It Down, and a lot of activists in Minneapolis, the younger ones, Ashley Fairbanks, who's Ojibwe, a lot of Native artists really kind of responded to this piece. And so, it's designed by an LA-based artist by the name of Sam Durant. And then would you like me to go into some detail over what it is?
Yeah, and so the piece was titled Scaffold, and it was a gallows-inspired work based in part on the hanging of the 38 Dakota tribal members in Mankato in 1862. And it was supposed to make its debut June 3rd, but that is not going to happen now, right?
Right, that's correct. By yesterday, it's been a busy week here in Minneapolis. The director of the center, Olga Vito, put out a statement on the Walker's blog that said that after hearing from the community, and the community here in Minneapolis is, this is the birthplace of the American Indian movement. Ida Lemoore had a good, strong home here. And so the Native community has always been engaged in responding to issues that impacted directly. So I think yesterday, Friday and Saturday, a lot of the activists and folks in the community went to the space, which is chained off. A chain link fence is enclosing it, and they just put up all of their signs and kind of just held kind of like a rally and vigil. And Gracie Horn, who's a Dakota artist here, kind of led the charge in that on Friday, I believe. The response was pretty swift and pretty favorable to the Native community.
And that lady you were talking about, Grace Horn, it said she was dropping thick red paint on the magazine pages and slathering onto a sign that described scaffold artist Sam Durant as a, quote, cultural genocide opportunist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was doing some research, and I looked at his involvement with the Walker before, and he does a lot of work that's, quote, Native-inspired, which in, within the Native community at large is just one of the, nails on a chalkboard kind of situation. So, if you go to any retail store that has Native-inspired anything, it's almost, a foregone conclusion that there were no natives involved in the design and execution of the artwork, you know, but there's that reputation that perceived native inspired. And so it was, you know, here in Minneapolis, there's a lot of room to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Unfortunately, where that kind of misses the mark is that dominant culture doesn't necessarily have the network or the connections or the people in place to make that meaningful and significant.
And is Durant Native American?
As far as I could find on my research, I don't think so, no.
So did the museum say why they didn't ask or involve anyone from the community to talk
about it? Yeah, the Walker here has a reputation, and Ashley Fairbanks, who is an Ojibwe artist and activist, has kind of touched on it in her social media beforehand. And the Walker has this reputation of being a modern art gallery, and it very rarely features and showcases Native artists. In fact, in one of her posts from last year, I believe she made a point to ask a docenter or someone at the museum, and she was told that sort of thing was more, you'd have to go to the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, which is another art museum here in Minneapolis. And so it's a very, I don't want to say strange, it's an uncomfortable place for a lot of people in the dominant culture in Minneapolis to be, because Minneapolis has this reputation of being progressive and being inclusive and being diverse. And when it comes to actually including voices, including perspectives, and honoring those as equal and valuable and as significant as the voices in Native culture, that's where the disconnect happens. And, you know, and so it creates this tension in that, you know, if you're going to talk the talk, you should walk the walk.
Definitely. And so their justification in doing this was to evoke some talk and, you know, let people be aware of the history that had happened in Minnesota, because it was the largest mass hanging in the United States there, which a lot of people don't know about. And I guess their reasoning was, well, so, you know, they wanted people to know about it and to talk about it.
Yeah. And there has been pushback by, you know, by non-Native members of the artist community here that, you know, it's censorship or it's, you know, kind of caving to a public outcry. And so my perspective on it was that, you know, is that, like, I went to school at the turn of the century for journalism and fine arts. And so I went through that educational process of that, you know, art is best done by a certain process that is not by committee, is not always going to be agreeable to everyone. And so my first instinct when I was hearing about this was that, oh, well, you know, maybe it will spur some discussion. And then I saw a picture of the actual piece. And what it essentially is a replica of the gallows. And, you know, my visceral reaction was that it's lazy. It is, you know, like, it's a, the design is, you know, is essentially the gallows that 38 Dakota warriors were hanged on. And what that looks like in the space is that it's accessible. So people, you know, would have been walking on this. They would have been taking selfies on it. They would have been taking their senior pictures on it. And, you know, like, even the more ignorant members of society probably would have gone to mock, hang, and make a mockery of what, you know, what weight in history this state and this country has in lynching and executing people of color. And so my response to it was that, like, this is, you know, like, this is, it's a, an inappropriate and completely offensive attempt at trying to spur discussion. It spurs discussion in the context and in the control of dominant culture. It makes people of color sit at a table that was not for them and will not benefit them. And so, you know, when it comes to, you know, spurring discussion, yeah, absolutely, art should do that, and art should always have that place. But when the discussion is forced, and when the discussion is exclusive, then it's really, you know, it's not helping, and it's not acknowledging the history and the weight of the genocide that Native people have encountered here in the United States, and particularly here in Minnesota.
Definitely. Well, thank you for updating us on what's going on. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to talk about this still some more and see what happens further, because I know they're going to be meeting with some other American Indian leaders, including Chief Arvel Looking Horse.
I believe on the 30th is when they scheduled the meeting. And there are still some activists who still want to continue. You know, Minneapolis is a wonderful tradition of protest and standing up and standing out. And so I think that they'll continue to do that as those discussions are ongoing. And I think that, you know, my understanding is that so long as Walker continues this process of inclusion and discussion, you know, the community here will definitely be more responsive and be best served by that. And we'll see if that actually happens.
Do you know how much this will cost them? I mean, so they won't be able to put this up.
There was no disclosure on the website on the cost of it, but there is the some pieces in the Sculpture Garden range from the upper 10,000s to hundreds of thousands. So there's that cost to it. The artist has said that in his part in this statement is that he's fine with it being dismantled because it's just, as he put it, it's just wood and metal.
All right. Well, thank you, Alfred Walking Bull, Sashangu Lakota, living in Minneapolis, talking about the Walker Art Center scaffold sculpture. It was slated to be going up, but now it is not. You know, a lot of American Indians that were living in the city just did not appreciate it. Thank you very much for letting us know what's going on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Well, so that issue was happening, and a lot of people had stuff to say and were, you know, rightly, a lot of people were just offended by what was happening. And I also have Maury Spala in the studio, and he's Oglala Lakota. And what were your thoughts of this was?
Well, the thing is that, you know, I've heard about it, but I'm just so busy that I haven't really read too much on it. But when you just come down to, it was an art piece. And I told Ron I was going to be the antagonist. And he actually mentioned a couple of things where, is it censorship? You know, are we too fragile nowadays that we're not able to allow an artist to build something like this, this art piece, and invoke, you know, discussion about, you know, what had happened in our history? And for me, that's a painful part of our Lakota history, is our Dakota brothers were, you know, killed, you know, by Abraham Lincoln, you know, and he is beloved by so many, but that's what I remember him for. And so for me, it's just, yes, it's a part of our history. It hurts. But when you come down to art pieces like this and you're going to censor it, and it's like, well, we're going to have this art, which makes us nice and happy and, you know, it's all frilly and fluffy all the time, but this art piece we won't allow because it makes us feel bad. I mean, we're supposed to have all these different kinds of emotions when we see art. And so for this to be taken down and not given a chance, I just want to know what other things they're not going to allow as art. Could it be poetry? Could it be music? Could it be movies? You know, they're going to censor because they're going to say no, it was tasteless, or they just didn't like it, or was it one person that didn't like it and they just got other people to back them up on that? You know, so how far do we go? I don't know. And for me, like I said, you know, it's a painful part of our history, but when it comes down to art, what do we allow?
Definitely. So, and I could understand. I don't think you wouldn't have a gas chamber at the Holocaust Museum. I just don't think you would have that there.
I think they do. And that's the thing, is I think they have that because they want people to remember. They want people to see that.
Yeah.
I haven't been there personally, but I think they have, like, pictures, and they have,
well, pictures, you know, voices. Are different than an actual,
well, this
gas
is an
chamber.
Art piece.
Yeah.
And they may have a, I haven't, like I said, I haven't been there, but they may have a replica. Who knows? Unless I actually go there. But that's the thing. It's a part of the history. It's going to remind people of what had happened so that it doesn't happen in the future.
And I could see the other point of people taking selfies, like, this is
and
a
that's
happy,
tasteless.
Yes, because I've seen that happen in Germany. Mm-hmm. They went to Auschwitz with people taking selfies, and you know, it's not a place to do that. And I don't think a lot of people realize that.
And that's something they could probably regulate, like all cameras and phones off or put away, or you know, or something like that. But still, it's now we're seeing this possible censorship, and we're supposed to be a free country, you know.
All right. Well, you see both sides of the coin here at Native Spirit Radio. All right. And then, so we're going to do your news across Indian country. And there's been a bill that is addressing a longstanding blood quantum issue in Oklahoma that's been introduced in the United States House. Under a law known as the Stigler Act of 1974, citizens of the Cherokee Nation, the Cherokee Nation, Chickasaw Nation, Choctaw Nation, the Muscogee Nation, and Seminole Nation, also known as the Five Civilized Tribes, are treated differently when it comes to their allotments. They must possess at least one half Indian blood in order for their lands to be held in, quote, restricted fee, quote, status. The status is also important because it protects Indian lands from state and local taxation, regulation, and jurisdiction. It also makes it harder for non-Indian entities to acquire such lands. But citizens of those five civilized tribes whose blood quantum falls below the standard have their lands automatically converted to, quote, fee, quote, status, whether they like it or not. That opens them up to state and local encroachments. Additionally, leasing, probate, and other activities are handled in state court, another disparity that the new bill seeks to address. Introducing this amendment to the Stigler Act would allow past precedent to be current with the realities of Native-owned restricted land. Representative Tom Cole, a Republican from Oklahoma, who is Chickasaw, said in a press release, many of Oklahoma's citizens have passed out of half-blood lineage but remain vested to their Native American heritage. Removing the half-blood degree prerequisite and expanding its range to any degree will help preserve the rights and legacy of Native American tribes and their inheritance. Leaders and citizens of the five civilized tribes have long called for the removal of the blood quantum requirement. They note that it will help keep Indian land in Indian hands and treats them in a manner similar to nearly every other tribe in the United States. But prior efforts to address the disparity have been controversial. Even though the Bush administration actively supported the change, opposition from Oklahoma's energy industry, state officials, and conservative lawmakers derailed it back in 2002. The industry claims it won't be able to develop Indian lands as easily if they have to follow federal rather than state regulations. Senator Jim Inhofe, Republican from Oklahoma, who advocated for those interests when he held up an earlier version of the bill, remains in office. As Native Americans, we take great pride in our heritage and that our land, our ancestors maintained before us. Representative Mark Wayne Mullen, who is Republican from Oklahoma, is also of the Cherokee Nation. The Stigler Act would allow natives to pass on their restricted land to future generations who may not meet the half-blood degree requirement. The bill is H.R. 2606. It has been referred to the House Committee on Natural Resources, whose Republican leaders have taken unusual views of the allotment era, the land and the trust process, and other federal Indian laws and policies. So that's what's going on in Oklahoma. A documentary that is exploring the origins of lacrosse, the Iroquois or Haudenosaunee tribes developed the game hundreds of years ago, and it's closely tied to their cultural and spirituality. Quote, my grandfather played the game. His grandfather played the game. How far back do you want to go? Orrin Lyons, an elder and faith keeper, says in the film. The Los Angeles Times reported reviewer Kenneth Turin said in the documentary, provides the kind of window into another cultural belief system that sports films rarely attempt. After its theatrical run, the film will be available on certain on-demand platforms on June 20th, the Associated Press reported. Well, a 22-year-old Native woman won an ultramarathon last month without the aid of any professional sports gear. According to news reports, Maria Lorena Ramirez ran the 31-mile Ocho Trail Cerro Rojo on April 29th in 7 hours and 3 minutes. She wore just a simple skirt, T-shirt, and handkerchief, plus sandals and with soles made out of recycled tire rubber, according to an organizer. She carried no special accessories, race organizer Orlando Jimenez told Mexico News Daily. She didn't bring any gel, nor energy sweets, walking stick, glasses, or those very expensive running shoes that everyone wears to run in the mountains. Just a bottle of water, her hat, and her kerchief. Ramirez is Rarumuri, also known as the Tarahumara people. They are well recognized for their long-distance running skills. For winning the women's division in the ultramarathon, Ramirez secured a prize of 6,000 pesos, according to Mexico News Daily. That's about $323 in United States currency. So she did that with wearing sandals. 31 miles is pretty awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really crazy. That's a long ways to go. All right, well, we'll get back into your music here. And so this is Floyd Red Crow Westerman and Custer Died for Your Sins. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
All the lies that were spoken, for the blood we have spilled, for the treaties that were broken, for the leaders you have stilled. Custer died for your sin. Custer died. Just to die for yourself, for the tribes you terminated, for the myth you keep alive, for the land you confiscated, for our freedom you deprived. Custer died for your sin. Now a new day must begin. Custer died for yourself. To die for yourself, for the truth that you pollute, for the life that you have cost, for the good you prostitute, and for all that we have lost.
sister died for yourself. Custer died for yourself. Custer died for yourself. Now a new day must begin. Custer died.
Yeah! Every day we tell you about violence.
Here in our city and across the country.
Today we stand together.
No to violence.
We say no to bullying.
We are young and old.
Black. White.
Multicultural.
We are one.
We are united.
Because in Kansas City,
we don't accept violence.
Not here, not now.
Not ever.
Today we start a movement.
Together we are Kind KC.
Brought to you by Channel 41 and KKFI.
All right, you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, and it's about buying time to be getting out of here, and Sunset Reggae will be coming up for you next, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And again, reminder about Memorial Day. You know, I just want to make sure people remember that it's not about having that day off. It's about honoring those who gave up that ultimate sacrifice. And I think as Native people, we've always honored our veterans. We've always remembered their sacrifices. You know, almost every weekend at a powwow, we're always remembering our veterans with songs and making sure that they know we appreciate them. Even before they leave to go in the military, there's certain ceremonies people do, and then especially when they come back. And it's, I think it's just really important that we remember that it's not a day off to have fun. It's remembering that sacrifice they made. Anything you want to add, Maury?
Well, just thanks for having me. There's always some good discussions, a lot of stuff going on around Indian country, and you know, we should all be informed. So I always thank you, you know, for bringing up stories on your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so, and I hope you guys enjoyed that, you know, interview with my friend Alfred Walking Bull, talking about what was going on in the Walker Arts Center and the scaffold discussion. I know a lot of people were very upset with it. I mean, that was like for like 4 days, I just seen this going on Facebook, and I was like, oh my gosh, I really need to, you know, have somebody talk about that, especially in Minneapolis. Like, you talked about the history of Minneapolis having all this American Indian movement there, you know, so it's important that we recognize that. All right, well, thanks, Maury, for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. And then we'll end off with some Young Spirit. We'll see you guys again next Sunday.
Bang!